Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I was just telling my panel members earlier before the presentation began that this is not only my first presentation, but my first conference. So I'm trying to take this as the exception, not the rule. But needless to say, I'm very excited to be here today sharing these findings with you all. As the title of my presentation suggests, I'm here today to discuss masculinity values and sexual risk behaviors among a group of Black bisexual men. I would like to take this time to say that I have no commercial or financial relationships to disclose. Before I go into the data today, I want to take a moment to briefly discuss why I felt this was a topic that was worth talking about today. And that's primarily because Black bisexual men, or Black men who have sex with men and women, are a group of men who often aren't talked about as a distinct or unique group, especially in terms of sexual risk behavior. And when they are discussed, the differences between their behaviors with their female partners and male partners often isn't discussed either. Aside from those things, other external factors that may influence their sexual risk behavior, such as psychosocial variables like masculinity, are not often discussed either. And we know that there's a link between gender roles and health-related behaviors, and that's been well documented across multiple fields of research. But most often in the U.S., when we talk about masculinity and its relationship to health-related behavior, we specifically talk about younger heterosexual males. So I thought this was a unique time and opportunity to discuss the relationship between masculinity values and sexual risk behavior among Black bisexual men. So today I want to assess the correlation of masculinity values to the risk behavior of Black bisexual men who engage in unprotected sex, as well as examine the differences in the correlations of masculinity values to unprotected sexual episodes with both female partners and male partners, and of course discuss any implications that these findings may have. So the data I'm going to talk about today comes from the baseline survey of a behavioral intervention trial that was funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The behavioral intervention was developed specifically for Black or African American men over the age of 18 years old who had both male and female partners. So 165 participants were recruited for this baseline survey using modified respondent-driven sampling. And it was modified because we limited our chain referral links in order to facilitate random assignment into groups. After informed consent, the baseline interview was administered by a team of trained interviewers using audio computer-assisted survey instrument. And we used both ACOSI and trained interviewers in order to facilitate and help men feel a little bit more comfortable disclosing personal information, such as sexual behaviors and number of partners and things like that. And at the end of their baseline survey, men were compensated $50 for their time as well. So in order to participate in the intervention, men, of course, had to be Black or African American, over the age of 18 years old, had both male and female partners in the past year. But on top of that, they also had to have had two or more partners in the past 3 months or the three-month window prior to their baseline, as well as at least one episode of unprotected sex in that window of time as well. So we were recruiting a sample that was engaging in unprotected sex at the highest risk level. So to assess masculinity within our sample, we adapted a 13-item component from the Multicultural Masculinity Ideology Scale, which was originally developed by Dawson Hopkins, to examine any consistent views of masculinity in a cross-cultural sample. So the 13-item component that we used measured hypermasculine posturing, or the externalization of internalized views of masculinity. So what we did with the scale is we gave each participant a scale score, and we computed that by taking the mean of their answers to each of the 13 items, and the response choices range from 1 to 4, with 4 representing a very strong masculine ideology. And as you can see, the scale behaved very well within our sample, giving us an alpha of 0.771, and a mean and median very close to each other of 2.06 and 2.08, respectively. And these are just some examples of the questions that we use from the scale. And as you see, a lot of questions relate to sexual behaviors as well as other behaviors, such as crying and things like that, and other gender normative behaviors. I just included this so you guys can see how that you all could see how the questions were formatted and what kind of things they asked. So next, I want to talk about a couple of demographic characteristics from our sample. As you see, we had a slightly older population, with 50% of our respondents being between the ages of 40 and 50 years old, giving us a median age of 46 years old. And as far as education and income are concerned, we did have a fairly educated sample, with less than a quarter of our participants reporting having anything less than a high school diploma or its equivalency. But we did have a very low annual income among our population, with more than 75% of our population reporting making less than $10,000 in the past year. Next, I just want to talk about the analysis that we did for this presentation today. We used multiple regression analysis to assess the relationships between our variables. But before I report on our models that include Maslindy predicting sexual episodes, I wanted to include this. We wanted to assess and see if any of our demographic variables had any effect on Maslindy ideology as well. So in this model, we assume that lower age, lower level of education, and lower income would lead to a higher Maslin ideology. And as you can see in our results, age and high school graduates were, we did use dummy variables for our income and our education variables since they were not continuous variables. But age and education were marginally significant in predicting masculinity scores. So we wanted to include those two variables when we looked at our analysis of unprotected sexual episodes as well. Before I talk about that, I'll tell you a little bit about how we computed our variables of unprotected sexual episodes. So the men self-reported the number of unprotected sexual episodes they had with female and male partners in the past 3 months. And basically, we combined that to give us a variable of overall unprotected sexual episodes, as well as unprotected episodes with male and female partners, respectively. And as you can see, the men reported having slightly more female partners than male partners. So next, in examining the impact of mass and values on unprotected sex, we still controlled for the effects of age and education, since they were marginally significant in predicting Maslin ideology. So our idea here was, even though those things were significant in predicting Maslin ideology, masculine ideology was going to be the greatest predictor of unprotected sexual episodes. So first we examined overall episodes with this model. And as you can see in our results, masculinity was the only thing that was very significant in predicting overall number of sexual episodes, of unprotected sexual episodes. So after doing this analysis, we wanted to look at female partners and male partners independently to see if there are any differences in the effects of masculinity on those episodes of unprotected sex. So we used the same regression model, and as you can see, masculinity was very significant in predicting number of unprotected episodes with female partners, but not with male partners. And again, age was marginally significant in predicting male partners. So the results from these preliminary analyses tell us that masculinity scores were significant in predicting unprotected episodes overall and with female partners, but did not have the same effect on male partners. And a couple limitations should be noted as well. Our sample size, first of all, was smaller than we had hoped for, which may have compromised some of the power in our analyses. But we also did not have our demographic characteristics were not very varied as well. As well as we only included men who participated who were at highest risk. So we included only men who had sex with men and women and had unprotected sex within the past 3 months. So we were talking about a very distinct group of men here. But it brings me back to my initial point that these preliminary analyses show that masculine ideology has different effects on episodic unprotected sex when comparing male and female partners, which means that bisexual men or men who have sex with men and women should be taken out and looked at as their own distinct group, especially when examining things such as sexual risk behaviors. Even though we were talking about a very specific group of men with this sample, the effect of traditional Maslin ideology should be taken into account when working with men who are engaging in sexually risky behaviors. And my final point as well, interventions developed for gay men, of course, may not be directly transferable to bisexual populations. I'd like to also take time to acknowledge the Colors Organization in Philadelphia who helped us to facilitate this intervention, as well as members from our Community Advisory Board.